This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, once again, we are with the 40 hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Nawawi, and later on was named the 40 Nawawi. The 40 Nawawi, referring to Imam al-Nawawi, the one that collected that number of a hadith. And hadith number 14, in which being narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى ثلاث الثيب الزاني والنفس بالنفس والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة رواه بخاري ومسلم. This hadith been narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in which he says, the blood, and the hadith been narrated by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the Messenger of Allah said, the blood of a Muslim may not be legally spilt other than in one of three instances. The first instance, the married person who commits adultery. The second one, a life for a life. And the third one, and one who forsakes his religion and abandons the community. Narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the narrator of the hadith, one of the great companions and the first companion in Islam to recite the Quran out loud in front of the faces of the people of Mecca. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of those great companions who stood firmly by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in Mecca. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved him so much and distinguished his love to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud than every other companion. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a short, skinny companion, and he had very thin legs. Once the companions were mocking the thinness of his legs, of his shins, so sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the companions, "What are you laughing at?" So they said, "We are laughing at the thinness of the thigh, and the shin of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah, those two shins of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud are more heavier in the sight of Allah than the mountain of Uhud. And what made them heavy is his iman. What made them heavy? It's his love to Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the great companions, narrates a hadith where alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى الثلاث. The blood of a Muslim will not be legal spilt after or other than in one of the three instances. When someone pronounces the shahada, he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. He is automatically Muslim. To us, we must accept his Islam. What he conceals, what she conceals, what they have from behind becoming Muslims, that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot make a judgment over someone who made Islam, who accepted Islam, that he became a Muslim because of that. We reject the Islam. No matter who that person is, no matter what they conceal, no matter what they show, as long as they pronounce the word of shahada, you as a Muslim must accept him, or must accept her, or must accept them as Muslims, and you must treat them as Muslims. You must treat them as Muslims. You can't analyze and calculate and come up with assumptions that he became a Muslim because he wants to marry off. His Islam is not accepted. Even though whatever intention he has to us in this world, he or she or them that are Muslims, we treat them as Muslims. Between them and Allah Azza wa Jal, it's a different case. between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. What they conceal, what they hide, Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge them in the hereafter, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him accountable over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him accountable of what they concealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them for the intention they became Muslims. But to us in this world, they are Muslims. And one of the rights of someone who pronounces the shahada over us is we treat him as a Muslim, and his blood is haram. No one could touch him or harm him. His blood is haram. Except what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned, except in three instances or in three occasions where the blood of that Muslim who says La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and even he might pray and even reads the Quran and so on, the only time where the blood of a Muslim is halal is the time when he commits three things. Okay, what's number one thing? Number one thing is a thayyibu zani, which is the married person who commits adultery. The married person who commits adultery. Okay, we all know adultery or fornication, which are referred as to be evil or illegal sex or illegal sexual intercourse. This is something haram. The only way that allows that sexual intercourse halal is through a marriage contract. Beside that, it is haram. And no doubt, it is haram. Okay? In Islam, there is a punishment for someone who commits adultery or fornication or illegal sex. But the punishment varies, or the punishment differs from the state of the person that had committed the actual illegal sex. It differs from the state of that person, whether he's been married before or not married. So for example, if a man commits an illegal sex, a man sleeps with a woman who she's not his wife. Okay? This man, there is a punishment over them. Okay? That punishment differs from being that this man, has he ever been married before or not? If he's been married before, then his punishment is stoning to death. And that's where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith that his blood is halal although he is a Muslim. His blood is halal although he is a Muslim. One of the instances or one of the occasions where the blood of a Muslim becomes halal, although he says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, is when he commits an illegal sex and he's married or been previously married, and that's what they call him a thayyib or rajul muhsan. Means that he's married or previously been married. And it could be he's married at the time where he committed the illegal sex, or he was before that time he was married and divorced. If a person that's been married or married and commits an illegal sex, and that's what they call in English adultery, and they differentiate between that and the other one by saying fornication, okay, if this married man or this married woman or previously married man or woman commit an illegal sex or adultery, and then they are found guilty, then their punishment is stoning to death. If this man or woman who's never been married before, this man commits an illegal sex, or this woman commits an illegal sex, and these people have been bachelors all their life. They've never been married before, and they're not married at the moment, or the time of committing the illegal sex. Then, their punishment is 100 lashes. So the difference between the first punishment, standing to death, and the second punishment, which is 100 lashes, is depends on the state of the person that had committed the illegal sex. If they've been married before, or married when they committed the illegal sex, then they are considered to be thayyib muhsan, which means they had committed adultery and their punishment is stoning to death. If they've never been married before, when they committed the illegal sex, which is fornication they call in English, okay, then their punishment is 100 lashes. Okay, the punishment that we said for someone who had committed adultery, and that's a man or a woman that's been married or previously been married, or at the time been married and committed the illegal sex, which is adultery. Okay, their punishment is stoning to death. And their punishment is stoning to death the judge. He is the one that applies the punishment, which he orders a hole to be dug in the ground. This woman or man that had committed the evil action, they'll be in the hole, and then the people will gather around them and stone them until they die. Stoning and stone them until they die. With the Prophet, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied that his time when a woman came and she said, "The Prophet of Allah, I had committed adultery, which means she's been married before. I had committed adultery, and I ask you to apply the penalty of Allah on me." So sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, and she said she's pregnant. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to go, and when she gives birth, and the kid relies on himself, another way, after she breastfeeds him and he weans, then to come with her guardian. So she came, and the kid had a piece of bread in his hand, which indicates that he doesn't need the breast of his mother anymore. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered her guardian to tighten her clothes on her body, and sallallahu alaihi wasallam dug a hole and he put her in a hole, and the companion stand until death. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempted, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to pray on her. So Umar al-Khattab said, "O Prophet Allah, you're going to pray on her. Which had committed adultery. Another narration says a blood came on Umar. Umar cursed her. So sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't say that. By Allah, she had performed a repentance that if you wanted to divide that repentance, would have been enough to feed 70 people of the people of Medina." And she had repented to Allah, a sincere repentance, and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted that repentance from him. So this is in regards of someone committing adultery, and that someone married or previously married. Someone who's a bachelor or single, commits adultery, or commits a fornication, or commits an illegal sex, then their judgment is 100 lashes. 100 lashes. Where the judge, once again, he is the one that applies the hukum and penalty, will order, they call him the jallad back then. The jallad is the one that lashes, the one that whips. Yeah, he'll get a whip and lashes him 100 lashes. That lash should be a quick one. And there's certain conditions that the scholars say his hand shouldn't go too high because it becomes too painful, and it shouldn't go too low or else becomes too soft. He's got to be average, he's got to do it very quick, and he shouldn't give gaps so he doesn't get full of the pain. And so on, there's certain conditions that the scholars had put, and the judge must apply that. So it's 100 lashes. The judge could even go over that, and where he says over the 100 lashes, he could order that person that had committed fornication to leave the city that he was in for over a year. That means you could kick him out of the town for one full year. He'll probably repent outside. He'll probably repent in another town. So this is one of the things that the judge can do. Now, how does the case take place? Someone committed fornication or adultery. How does that case take place in Islam? It's either two things. One of two. Either the criminal or the person that had committed the adultery or fornication confesses, comes before the judge and says, "I had committed adultery and I'm a married man," or "I had committed fornication, I've never been married before." And then the penalty applies because he had confessed in front of the judge. Exactly what happened with the woman when she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and confessed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The other thing is when witnesses testify against him or her. When witnesses testify against him and her. Okay, and what's the criteria of witnesses and the number of witnesses? In Islam, Islam had put the number of 4 witnesses. 4 male, just Muslim witnesses. When we say 4 males, that means females can witness against a person that had committed fornication or adultery. Only Muslims can witness against someone who had committed fornication or adultery. And only just Muslims who are trustworthy. Man or someone, wallah, some junkie or some person who drinks wine comes and testifies. This person needs help himself. You know, the judge doesn't accept the testification of someone who is unjust. And unjust in Islam means he's not trustworthy. Unjust in Islam means he's not trustworthy. So there must be 4 male witnesses. 4 male witnesses, not 3, not 2, not 1. Must, if the case of someone committing adultery or fornication, if the case to be taken forward, then there must be 4 male witnesses who will come forward and say that we saw the whole scene. Yani they must see the whole scene in Islam. This, not we saw him and her get into the same room. That's not enough. Him and her going in the same room, it's not enough. Him and her walking together, it's not enough. Him and her were talking about it, it's not enough. In Islam, they must see it with the own eyes. The whole action, the whole scene must take place in the own eyes. Four of them witnessed that. If less than four, three come forward, three men come forward, or two come forward, or one person comes forward, then the judge will apply the penalty on them for testifying a testification which is called al-qadhaf. Al-qadhaf, which is an accusation of adultery or fornication. In Islam, it must be four male Muslim witnesses who saw the whole scene, and they must, four of them, come and testify in front of the judge. If less than four, then the judge would not accept the testification. Even if it's three of them and they are the best of people, the judge will not only accept or reject the testification, he'll even apply a penalty over them, and that penalty called al-qadhaf, which is 80 lashes each. 80 lashes each for not coming forward with four witnesses, because that's called qadhaf. And qadhaf is another penalty which someone accuses another person of an illegal sex or evil sex, accusing a Muslim or a Muslimah who are respected or neutral people of committing such an evil or ugly act like fornication, adultery. If someone calls someone or says something about someone that had committed that and that did not come forward with four male witnesses, then the Muslim judge will apply that penalty on them. And that penalty, which is the penalty of qadhaf, accusation, and that penalty is 80 lashes each. If four come, four male witnesses, and they say, we saw the whole scene, then the Muslim judge will accept their testification, and he'll apply the penalty on that person, whether it's 100 lashes for fornication, or standing to death for adultery. Or standing to death for adultery. Now, which in other words, it's very, very hard to happen. Where are you going to get four male Muslims seeing the whole action? In the history of Islam, they say it's never happened. In the history of Islam, it's never ever happened. And this, some people come to you and say, you know, Islam says if you accuse someone of committing adultery and fornication, this is a penalty and so on. But let it happen. It's never happened in history. It's one of the most impossible things to happen, to get four Muslim male witnesses seeing the whole thing. Okay, that's why Islam gave the option to that Muslim to come and confess or either repent between you and Allah. And that's the other issue. If someone does commit fornication or adultery in another sin, does he have to come forward to the judge, or can he keep that between him and Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive? He could do either. He could come from the judge and he asked the judge to apply the penalty of Islam on him. And once that penalty is applied, that means that's forgiveness for him over the sin he had committed. Or he could keep that between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and Allah Azza wa Jal is the most forgiving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive. So in Islam, you don't have to come forward to the judge and confess to him that he had committed adultery or fornication. You could keep that between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So this is the first instance which allows the Muslim judge to spill the blood of a Muslim if he commits adultery, if he commits or if she commits adultery. Now, the second instant, which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, one nafsu bin nafsi, a life for a life, a life for a life. And that means someone killing another person, someone killing another person. Okay, in Islam, murder is one of the worst and one of the major sins in Islam. To kill someone innocently, this is one of the major sins in Islam. Now, if someone kills someone, there's three different types of killing. Okay, one they call it al-qatl al-amad. Qatl al-amad is deliberate death, deliberate murder. Which means, I grabbed a gun or a knife and I came with the intention of killing this person, I killed him. They call that deliberate death. Why? Because I intended to kill him, and I also took the means and the methods to kill him. They call that qatl al-amd. The other one is qatl shibh al-khata. Okay? A murder that's like or similar to a mistake. For example, I'm going out hunting, so I've got a weapon that kills. And I came to shoot the emu, and subhanAllah, it shot the farmer. And he died. So here, I had a weapon that kills, but with that weapon that kills, I made the mistake by killing another person. I made the mistake, but I'll kill another person. Or maybe, this guy's sometimes under the khata. Okay, the one, shibh al-amad, or the similar to deliberate, is for example, I had a fight with someone, and I didn't have the intention of killing him, but I punched him, and my punch was too strong. I hit him, and he fell, and he collapsed. And he died. Okay, this is one of the incidents that happens. So I had the intention to hit him, I had the intention to harm him, but I didn't have the intention to kill him. But my harm went over exaggerated and killed him. They call that shibh al-amad, which is a murder that's like deliberate murder. And the other one is mistake, which is the one I mentioned to you. I swept him over. The one mistake is I came to shoot an emu, I came and shot a farmer. I didn't have the intention to get near him, but subhanallah, he popped out of nowhere and shot him and killed him. Okay? Now, if the only one that Islam gives the rights for someone to, for the penalty to be taken as death, is the one that someone has had the intention of killing. Someone had the intention of killing and he used the method to kill. They call that qatl al-amad, deliberate murder. Deliberate murder, the penalty of deliberate murder is death. Okay? The penalty of deliberate murder is death. But he and Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla, had given the guardian, or had given the family of the murdered, the person that's been murdered or been killed, they had given him the option, whether they ask for the blood of the murderer, okay, the way he killed our son, we want him to be killed. And the judge can kill him the way he killed him. So if he killed him through a gun, he'll kill him. If he killed him through with a knife, he'll kill him. If he killed him by smashing a rock over his head, he'll kill him that way. Unless it's something that Islam forbids, like if he killed him by burning him, then he gets killed by shooting and so on. So, in Islam, if someone kills or commits a deliberate murder, then Allah Azza wa Jal had given the family an option of one option of two. Either his blood, the way their family member was killed, that killer or that murderer gets killed. The other option is ransom money, which is evaluated to 100 camels. Evaluated to 100 camels. And 100 camels these days, at least a camel is 1,000. So 100 camels is about 100,000. So 100,000 and every camel, and there's a description, 30 of them must be over 2 years. The other 30 must be over 3 years. The other 30 must be pregnant. And with camels, not like cars, the older they get, the more expensive they become. The cars, the older it gets, the cheaper they become. Now that's how it is with camels. So Nabi SAW evaluated the ransom money with camels. Now, this is if it's a deliberate death, if it's a deliberate murder. Okay, if it's a shibh al-amad, if it's a murder that's like deliberate murder, where he had the intention to harm, but he didn't have the intention to kill, but that harm ended up killing, then there is no blood in return, there's only ransom money. The killer, or the person that had committed the murderer, or the one that had the intention of killing, or that had the intention of harming but ended up in killing, all he's got to do is pay ransom money and he goes back to the family of the dead, or the person that's been murdered. And the one, the khata, same thing. If someone kills someone by mistake, then he's got to pay a ransom money, which is 100 camels. And as I said, it's divided that. So in Islam, as the Prophet Muhammad SAW, he says, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله إلا بإحدى الثلاث, that the blood of a Muslim who says لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله is not halal only in three instances. And one of those instances are when someone kills or commits a deliberate murder. Commits a deliberate murder. Now, and the last one, وَالتَّارِكُ لِدِينِهَا الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ, and the one who forsakes his religion and abandons the community. And that's what they refer as to al-murtad. Al-murtad is abstaira. Abstaira is someone that was a Muslim and left Islam. Whether he was originally non-Muslim, then he became a Muslim and then left Islam. Or he's born a Muslim, then he left Islam. They call that person that was ever once a Muslim and then left Islam, they call them a murtad. And a murtad is someone that he had left and abandoned the jama'ah, which is here referring as the jama'ah, the community as Islam. The murtad, his punishment in Islamic law is to be killed. Is to be killed. Why? Because of the fitna that the murtad and the ridda will do to the Muslim community. A lot of people will start leaving Islam just to go and commit corruption. Especially back then, the Muslim community wasn't mixing with the non-Muslim community. And the non-Muslim community had a lot of permissible things due to their faith, of drinking wine and so on, which the Muslim community wasn't allowed. So some Muslims start leaving the Muslim community and become non-Muslims just for the sake of committing haram. And that's what the ridda leads to, corruption, and leads to others leaving Islam. For that, Islam stops and does not allow the ridda to take place because of the corruption that spreads among the Muslim community. And for that, Islam had allowed someone who says La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah and then leaves it, Islam gives the right to the Muslim judge to perform and to apply the penalty of had, which the penalty of had, the penalty of the had means that he'll apply the penalty of hanging or killing or whatever the judge sees. All these penalties in Islam, there's two things. There's something called penalty, which is had, and ta'zir, which is punishment. Penalty had is a set punishment coming from Allah Azza wa Jalla, His Prophet. Like what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about someone committing adultery or fornication, it's a set punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like someone committing theft, it's a set punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla to chop their hands and then the feet and so on and so on. Okay, but there's a lot of other corruption, there's a lot of other evil acts which are very evil and very wrong. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave authority for a penalty, but there's no set penalty. There is no set penalty, but there is a punishment. Okay, who's going to set the punishment there? Okay, it's the judge. The judge has the right to apply a set punishment over someone that commits an evil action, and that's what they call ta'zir. All the penalties from killing, chopping the hands and so on, that all goes back to the Muslim judge, who's assigned by the Muslim leader, in which he is the leader of a Muslim state. So not in an individual on the street goes and applies that. Wallah, tomorrow, hey, one of our friends committed adultery, this guy chop his head off, okay, or stone him, take him to national park and put a hole and stone him to death. No one gives the rights to. The only one that's got the rights is the Qadi, the Muslim judge, and the Muslim judge who is assigned by the Muslim government. So there must be a Muslim government, and there must be an Islamic court, and there must be a Muslim judge who applies the penalty. Beside that, no one has the right to apply the penalties except those who I mentioned, and that's the Muslim judge. Only and extremely only the Muslim judge. Beside him, no one has the rights. Even if the whole Muslim community agrees, they can't unless they have a Muslim judge who's assigned by the Muslim leader in a Muslim state. If he's got the authority, he's got the authority to apply the penalty. No individuals, no association, no group of Muslims, no group of teenagers can do that. If they do such, then they had committed the sin themselves. Then they had committed the sin. So for example, if one person commits adultery, then a group of teenagers who are religious grab him and stand him to death, the Muslim judge has the right to lock him up. He has the right to lock him up. For this is something only in the hands of a Muslim judge in a Muslim country, in a Muslim state. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to revive the Islamic state and to bring the honor and respect back to Islam and the Muslims. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina istami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. Inshallah, if any brother has any questions, please make it sensible and ask. Okay, someone came to his house and saw his wife with another man, or some woman came into her house and saw her husband with another woman. And in this country, you can't do much. In a Muslim country, there's something called li'an. And li'an is something that was spoke about last week with the Sydney IC. Li'an, one of the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, what would you say when someone sees his wife with another man? So sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, either give me those four witnesses or your back. And in other words, I'll perform the penalty of qadhif on you, which is 80 lashes for you accusing your wife. So that companion said, O Prophet of Allah, why would someone accuse his wife? And it's the biggest bahadli, biggest embarrassment. Would someone just come out of that unless it's 100%? So the Prophet ﷺ told them, either you get me those four male witnesses or you're back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something called, the scholars call it as al-li'an. Al-li'an is a man accusing his wife of adultery, or a woman accusing her husband of adultery. What happens is the Muslim judge will gather the community, and then the husband who's accusing his wife of committing adultery will stand up in front of the Muslim community and he'll make four promises saying, by Allah, that what I'm saying is the truth, that she said blah blah blah. Okay, he'll make four promises that what he's saying is the truth. And then the third one is, وَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ, and the curse of Allah, and the curse of Allah is on me if I'm saying any lies. Now, khalas, she's in the eyes of the judge, she's 100% guilty. But she can take that away from her, where she stands, where her husband stood, and she says four promises that by Allah, that he is a liar, four times by Allah that he is a liar. And the fifth one, she says, and the anger of Allah on me if he says the truth. If she does that, then one of them is a liar, and both go home. Khalas. None of them, they split forever. They can't get married to each other forever, and everyone goes their way. But if the husband stands up, who's accusing his wife, and he makes those promises, and then the judge will tell her, listen, it's either you get stoned, or you make those promises, and or you let you go. This is what I call that. And Allah to us, you say, what's going on? Because Allah, okay, this is Islam, but and back then the environment is different to these days, but it still applies. It's not like anything changed. It still applies, but it's something that very rarely happens. Now, it's not a witness. Video camera is not a witness. And a video camera, to a lot of the scholars these days, is not a witness. So, no. Another. Okay. First of all, why is it so harsh for witnesses? Okay. Because this is an issue, this is an area where people like to speak a lot about. Okay, everyone, you know, like for example, someone smiled at a woman, huh? Look, see? Look, it's right away. People like to speak, you know. Someone, for example, like, you know, a shopkeeper minding his own business, a woman walked in, huh? Look, huh? See what happens? Especially Arab like to speak. If they've got nothing else, they'll start speaking about others. If there's no politics, to speak about others. That's how it is. Because it's an area where a lot of people speak about. Secondly, it's just Allah Azza wa Jal is giving the opportunity for this person to repent. Before he gets there, Allah's giving him the opportunity. And I keep it between you, so far repent to Allah. Now, you know the question? Yeah. No, you can't. No. Even Islam, because Allah's given the authority to the judge, not you. Okay? And Allah's given that. Because if you do that, then it becomes... See, okay, someone killed one of my family members. I'll go and kill his family member. What's going to happen? They're going to come kill another family member. Then it's going to happen, and then a war breaks out between the family. But when the Muslim judges in between, khalas, he stops it there. He killed. That's it, everyone goes home, and no one does anything anymore. Because it's the Muslim judge that took action. But, okay, he killed from me, I'll go and kill from him. Then it becomes a big war. And then it becomes a big war, a never-ending war. But when the Muslim judge takes that, when the Muslim judge applies that penalty, okay, he killed him, he gets killed. Khalas, the other family would never do anything because, what, they're going to put it on authority? No. There's no Muslim judge for those things. There's no Muslim judge in the whole world for those things. No.
Okay, a guy catches his wife, you know?
No.
Yeah, what's it called?
Yeah, of course.
So the chef's going to ask you, why do you want a talaa?
Yeah.
But then, you know, well, I want a talaa, you know, I want
you tell him.
But you need four witnesses.
No, you tell him your reason and tell him, this is my reason, but it doesn't mean I'm putting it forward in the judgment. You don't have to do it, this is husband. You know, you keep it, tell him, that's my reason and that's it, I'll keep it to myself.
So you tell
the judge that, yeah, no problems. The only time that the judge will apply is when you put it forward as a case. Naam. Alaykum as-salam, brother. Yeah, I've got one too. Yalla. No, that's in Islam. You can't deny. Denying it, it's a major thing. Could even lead to kufr. You can't deny it. Something. It's one of the things in Islam. You can't deny it. Naam. Come on, you've got a friend at work? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's forgiven. Khalas, Allah. He's forgiven for the action. Allahu alam, but he's forgiven. Allahu alam, yani. But he could be doing a lot of other things beside that. No. Two male witnesses. For killing, yeah, two male witnesses. Two male witnesses who witness, they are Muslims, say, we saw this man killing. No.
A lot of people ask me that have read the Quran, but they're not Muslims. They say they've read the verse, kill the non-believers. So how do I answer that question when they say, they're going to say, why does it say it in there, kill the non-believers? What can I give them as an answer?
Hello, that's all the... A lot of these. تفضل يا أخي تعال. هلا a lot of هلا يعني these verses in the Quran al-Karim. There's no one verse. There's not even one verse in the Quran al-Karim which says kill the non-believers. Like, you know, wherever you see him, kill him. There's not even one verse in the Quran al-Karim. It's all relating to incidents and events that take place at that time, or things that happen if the non-believers attack you, do this, kaza. But there's not even one verse or one hadith in the Quran that says, whatever you see, a non-believer kill him, that's it. There's none of that, no. Naam. Yeah. Yeah. No. If someone kills, what happened to that guy that killed 100 lives and entered the paradise? Naam. Another question? For which prayer? Fard? You shouldn't do that for Fard. You could do it for Sunnah, but not Fard. For praying Fard, you should read from your own. Okay, praying Sunnah, you can read it. Okay, what do you mean by judge? Who is the judge? A judge is a assigned judge in a Muslim court by the Muslim government. So there's got to be a Muslim state. It's called an Islamic state, blah, blah. And then there's a Muslim leader of that state, and that Muslim leader assigns a judge to deal with criminal matters in the court. So that's a Muslim judge. Okay? Can a parent disallow a guy to get married to their daughter due to their job, culture, or background, even though he is strong in his religion? If the father has authority over his daughter. If the daughter sees someone who is suitable for her marriage, and her father refuses, then she should bring that to the sheikh, and the sheikh will look into that matter. If the sheikh finds a good reason for her to get married to him, and no good reason for her father disallowing her, then the sheikh will marry her even without the approval of father. This goes to the matter. It goes to the Muslim judge, but family court. In Islam, you've got criminal court, you've got the family court, you've got the inheritance court. And all that. What are the punishments of backbiting? It's haram, but there's no set punishment for backbiting. It's haram, and there's a punishment in the hellfire where Allah will punish someone who backbites in the hellfire. But from what I call, their tongue will be pulled in the hellfire and so on. But then there is a punishment, but Allah alam what the punishment is. What can you do if you like someone and they like you? And his mom doesn't accept. Allah answered that. Taib, another question? Allah just answered anyway. We said if she likes someone and the father doesn't want, or the mother doesn't want, mainly the father, she brings it to the sheikh and the sheikh will discuss it. Naam.
Is it a guarantee that when you go to Hajj and you perform Hajj 100%, that all your sins are wiped?
Allahu alam. Allah said wipe it, inshallah he'll wipe it. Naam. No, he can't stop her seeing her father, mother, her brother, sister. But, and he could limit. And instead of going every day, once a month, for example. يعني once a month, it's not gonna affect. شلون؟ يعني هذا. طيب. جزاكم الله خير. ما الله يوجز. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك.